I'm really missing something here without hockey. It'd be so much fun to throw open the lines and just go to people. Roberto Luongo, 416-8700, and just watch the lines light up. Walk us through this a little bit. Like, my first question is, can teams actually make trades now during a lockout?
Well, absolutely not. They can't. That's why nothing's happened.
But you could talk. If you and I wanted to talk about a deal, we could.
I suppose we could. I suppose we could. But everything is predicated, and you know this better than I do because of your world, everything is predicated on the collective bargaining hearing. So a player being traded is based on what is the allowable compensation and stipulations of the collective bargaining agreement. And we don't have one.
Is this one of the reasons, John, do you think that Brian Burke was so inactive this offseason? Because, he knew the deal he had to make, but he's got to wait for the new world before he figures out what that means.
I think that's exactly the reason. I don't think that Brian had inside knowledge or Mike Gillis had inside knowledge.
Right.
I think it's that they knew the rules were going to change, and the rules are going to change. And by the way, the rules changed a bit more Tuesday, and they changed a bit more yesterday, and they may change over the weekend, and they're going to change next week too.
Before we get to the CBA, is it a good fit, Roberto Luongo in Toronto? Because we are going to have hockey at some point. Is it a good fit?
Well, you and I have been on shows together long enough.
Yes.
Where I've been talking about this in February. And I have been saying, I sound like my pal Grapes, but I've been saying all along the Canucks were silly to even think about trading Schneider. They should think about trading Luongo. There's very few places that he would fit. And I think this is one of the great places for him to fit. I think Roberto Luongo is behind that defense last year. The Toronto Maple Leafs were in the playoffs.
Does he handle the scrutiny of Toronto?
I will tell you right now, I have a lot of experience of the scrutiny of Vancouver.
Yes.
Have a lot of experience of the scrutiny of Toronto. Toronto is easier for a player than Vancouver.
There you go.
Toronto is where the pressure is on in Toronto is behind the bench and in the boardroom.
There you go.
And where the Vancouver it has been for 41 years a town that kills goaltenders. And I could list off the 25 I know that will shake their heads. There's guys living in this market that played there that will shake their heads about the pressure that it was to play for the Vancouver Canucks.
That's a good bit of a lesson for those of us in the Toronto media.
Start picking on the players?
Well, I got to tell you, one of J.P. Ricciardi's, and he still says it, said, hey, it's the only city I know where the media won't go after the players. They'll go after the general manager, the assistant general manager, the coach. And he was being, I think over the top, but in a lot of ways, I think there's an element of truth to that.
You look at, and all respect to our friends at the Argonauts,
mm-hmm.
You look at the big three teams, and people talk more about Brian Colangelo, Paul Beeston, and Alex Anthopoulos, and Brian Burke, and formerly Ron Wilson, and now Randy Carlyle, and Dallas Eakins now. Guys, we're talking about Dallas Eakins. More than we talk about who's playing the game.
Yeah, I wonder if Dallas Eakins realizes if the Marlies, ever hit a losing streak or anything, we're going to have to start taking calls. Did the Marlies get too big for their britches last year? Has Dallas Eakins lost control of the dressing room?
You have made my case, sir.
Yes, indeed. With John Shannon of Sportsnet. John, as I said, I really value your opinion more than just about anybody's on the CBA. I saw yesterday's news conferences, and I think there's, I still think there's a nugget of a deal there, but it just seems as if every time somebody sits down and tries to analyze this thing, they come up with another reason that nugget of a deal might, there might be another layer over top of it. from your point of view, you've been in rooms with these people. Is there a deal to be made there? Where we are right now, is there a deal to be made there?
Absolutely. There's absolutely a deal to be made. We're getting closer. We're into the metric system now. We're not inching in. We're centimetering in. Believe it or not, folks, there was progress made this week.
Yes.
Even though Gary said they're not speaking the same language, 50-50 is on the table. The league's 50-50 is different than the players' 50-50, but it is 50-50. So now the question becomes, and I think the core messaging and the core question is, how will the league and the Players Association handle existing contracts? And if personal belief that the players who have signed contracts, and there's about 60% of them in the NHL that are under contract, do they deserve to get the full 100% of the dollars that they've agreed to play for? That's the question.
And so now
the owners have said, in their offer Tuesday, well, we'll make you whole some way. And it was going to be a future revenues, and future revenues, 50% of those future revenues were supposed to go to all the players, period. Mm-hmm. So the question becomes is how can the owners find a way to make the players whole, I'm using their word, without compromising future years? How can they do that? And I think that's the question. Bill and Gary and the owners that are involved are much smarter than I am. And I would hope that they're, sitting in front of their abacus is trying to figure this out or trying to figure something out that can make it palatable for all the other owners at the same time making it palatable for the players.
I spoke to a guy at the commissioner's office yesterday, baseball commissioner's office, and he was talking about, and he's a hockey fan, he was talking about what was going on. He said, it reminded him of one of the negotiations they had with Donald Fehr, and I don't know if people remember this, but... I remember it because Vernon Wells was the Jays player rep, and it essentially went right up to 0 hour in season. I mean, the Boston Red Sox players were in their clubhouse waiting to decide whether or not they were going to jump on a chartered flight to fly to play that day. It went up to 0 hour, and eventually it got done. And this guy was making the point, the tone and the tenor of the discussions, very similar to what the NHL people are seeing right now, including a point where everybody thought, my God, these sides are never going to get anything done. It got done.
I tell you what, and you and I have not spoken, I feel like Kreskin, you guys, we have not spoken about this before.
Right.
I was told by somebody yesterday, this is going to be done Wednesday night at 11:59.
See that happening.
And I trust the person. I believe what they say. Now, there's lots of people you talk to because I do think there's a deal done. I do think the players want to play. I do think there's a need for an 82-game schedule because otherwise the 50-50 split is not what the players think they're getting, nor is it what the owners expect to get.
Right.
Are we going to go to a deadline? Absolutely. Is it going to be really tight? Absolutely. And do I think a deal can get done? Yes, I do.
Yeah, I'm with you in that. I don't know about the 82-game schedule, but I still firmly believe that in a couple of weeks we'll be watching regular season hockey. But
I know you got to go, but the one thing is that if you say, well, I don't know if we're going to get an 82-game schedule, then we've got to get these buzzwords out of our vocabulary of $3.3 billion.
Yep. Well said.